So we're going to study today a little bit in God's Word about us being faithful to His Word. God is faithful, we're to trust in Him, and God is faithful. We've heard some really wonderful teachings, and to close, we're going to look at us being faithful to God by being faithful to His Word. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, please. In the Greek New Testament, the word faithful, means faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. Faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. It also means when somebody is faithful, somebody who believes God consistently. That's what we want. We want to be people who are faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. We want to be someone who believes God consistently. It's easy to go to fellowship and be all happy. What happens when the chips are down? Are we somebody who's faithful, or are we just fair weather believers? I learned to appreciate my wife a lot more to see how she responded in this situation. And that's how a couple should be. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 35. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 35. So faithful can mean faithful, trustworthy, or reliable. Someone who believes God consistently and who is trustworthy. Verse 35, it says, I will raise me up a what? Faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. What a cool definition of faithfulness to God. Somebody who's going to do what is in God's heart or in His mind. So as faithful believers, we want to be faithful. We want to be reliable. We want to be trustworthy. People who believe God and people who want to do and are going to do what is in God's heart and what is in God's mind. It's more than just showing up to fellowship. Unbelievers can show up to your fellowship, can't they? Unbelievers eat cookies. It's not just about showing up to fellowship. It's about being trustworthy, faithful. It's about wanting to do what God wants us to do. John 10:10, please. John 10:10. I think most of us know this verse very well. John 10:10, please. John 10:10. John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it how? Does it say in this verse we'll have a perfect life?
No.
Does it say every day will be a happy day?
No.
Does it say every day will be like heaven? Some days we're very thankful. Some days, I have to admit, we're thankful they're over. Have you ever been through one of those? I have too. My wife has been too. So, you know what? It says here, the thief cometh not for to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. It doesn't say a perfect life. It doesn't say every day is going to be nice. But it says a more abundant life. It says more than conquerors. It says greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. All these wonderful things. But it also doesn't say that every day is going to be great. Yet, in our heart and in our mind, no matter what's going on around us, we can be blessed. We can be happy. Have you guys listened to the news lately? That's ridiculous. This is a crazy world with so much stuff that's gone. So what do we base our life upon? Do we base our life upon the craziness of the world? Because what's out there, if you listen to the news all day long, that's fear, fear, fear. All the stuff that's happening. And people are nuts. They really are. That's devilish stuff. On the other hand, we base our life on God and His Word. That's what this is about. It's not about the craziness of the world. It's about God and His Word. Look at Proverbs. We're going to take a look at a few people in the Bible that were faithful. Proverbs chapter 25, please. My wife was faithful. She kept it together when it wasn't all that easy to keep it together. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, and in verse 19, Proverbs 25. You know, my wife and I came here in 1986, and for a lot of the nights in my life, I wasn't home. And I was out with the believers and doing different things, and we were able to live our lives that way because, like a lot of you did, and we were able to live our lives like that because she kept it together at home. Proverbs chapter 25 and in verse 19. I thought we'd start off with what it is not. We're going to look at some faithfulness here. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 19. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot, what? You ever had a broken tooth? Feels really great, doesn't it? How about a foot out of joint? I have a broken ankle, so, you know, I can relate to that. So sometimes when a person's unfaithful and they have a situation they're responsible for, it can be painful. Look at Hebrews, Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah 9. Genesis, Exodus, Nehemiah. No, that's not true. Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah, verse 9. Nehemiah 9 and in verse 7. Nehemiah 9, verse 7. Thou art the Lord the God, who did choose Abraham and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees. So Abraham used to live in Ur of the Chaldees. What country today is Ur of the Chaldees? Anybody know? I will give you three countries and you can pick. Bolivia. South Korea. Or Iraq. Okay, that was great. Thank you. All right, now. Thou art the Lord thy God, the God who didst choose Abraham and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of what? Abraham. And found his heart faithful before thee. Madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy what?
Words.
God was faithful to the words he spoke to Abraham, and Abraham was faithful. Where did Abraham go when he left Ur of the Chaldees? If you get this right, you get a cookie at the break. Who knows? It was a place called Haran. Haran, which is right over the border of Turkey, right? Maybe you noticed on the news there's this place called Kobani. Kobani is very, very close to where Abraham used to live in Syria, not in Turkey. So that doesn't cost you anything. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. Abraham was faithful to God, and God was faithful to the word that he gave Abraham. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 1. Hebrews 3 verse 1 it says, wherefore Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Jesus Christ was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Jesus Christ was faithful. Moses was faithful. Abraham was faithful. Many great men in the Bible were faithful, and the Bible singles out a few of them. Look at Matthew chapter 25, and then we'll come back to looking at a few more faithful people. Matthew 25. You know, we have a tremendous knowledge of God's Word. We've been entrusted. We've been blessed. We've been privileged to know God's Word like we know. We know the truth about manifestations of the Spirit, the identity of Jesus Christ, church in the home, baptism, so many different things. We can walk with all nine. We have so much that we've been entrusted with. Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew 25. And in verse 14. Matthew 25 and in verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his own ability, and straightway he took his journey." He was going to go to New York City, and he trusted these people with certain talents. This dude over here had a lot of ability. He gave him 5. Another person over here, he gave him 2. Another person over here, he gave him 1. And this master entrusted people with some responsibility to use these talents. "Then he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained 2 others. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more.' And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord.'" This guy took what he had, took what he was entrusted with. He utilized it. He stewarded it. And then at the end of the day, he had 5 more. And he increased then his potential for responsibility. And he got more. He got more responsibility. Verse 22. "And he also received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you deliver unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord.'" He was responsible for a little less, but he took what he had. He utilized it, he did what he needed, and then he had 2 more. And his Lord, he did what his Lord wanted, and then he had more, and the guy gave him more responsibility. As people are faithful to what they have, then they can be entrusted with more. Then, verse 24, "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was what?
Afraid.
I was what?
Afraid.
I was afraid, and went and hid in the earth, the talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast is thine.'" Did he still have the talent? He did. He didn't lose it. He still had it. But because of his fear, he was afraid, and look what happened. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, you know, like put it in the bank or something. And then my coming I should have received my own with usury, with interest. So this guy here, he didn't lose the money, but he didn't utilize it. He didn't take care of it, and there was no profit. You know, he could have bought some diamonds from Erica and maybe made some money on the side, and his boss would have had some more. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. Because the guy that had 10 talents used what he had there, and then he had more, you know, he was responsible for what he had. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have in abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even which he hath. What God has entrusted us with, we ought to do what God wants. If we're entrusted with a great knowledge of the word, if we want more knowledge, we ought to utilize that knowledge, right? We ought to take that knowledge, utilize that knowledge, and as we apply it, then we get more. We've been entrusted with a lot of knowledge of God's word. Some of us are responsible for fellowships or have responsibilities in the body. As we utilize or as we, you know, take care of what we've been entrusted with God, then we grow in our ability to do more. If we learn to take care of one person in a great way, then we learn to be able to take care of two. Faithfulness. God is faithful to his word, and we as believers are trying to grow up and be faithful to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 1 Corinthians 4. Day in and day out, believing God's word. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, it's still God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 14. Now, the context of this is Paul was going. He had written to the Corinthian believers and taught them. But in the book of Corinthians, there was division. Paul had taught the Corinthian believers, but there were leaders that Paul had taught that were separating the disciples underneath them and teaching them things that weren't good. So Paul was the one who taught them. But they didn't pay attention to Paul like they needed. And there was these younger guys who thought they knew a lot, and they were having people follow them instead of what Paul had taught or in a practical way. So there was practical division. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of who?
Me.
Oh, who did Paul tell him to follow? There seems to be a division at the VFW. Who did Paul tell him to follow? Paul. That's what it says, at least in my Bible. Paul told him to follow Paul. But let's read the context. Not at the expense of God and his word. Because they were following these young leaders that were causing division. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. If Paul ate guinea pig, should they eat guinea pig? If Paul went to Jerusalem when it wasn't God's will, should they have gone to Jerusalem? No. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause I've sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. Not, you know, genetically, in heart. My beloved son and faithful in the Lord. If a person is faithful in the Lord, that means they do what the Lord says. So Timothy represented Paul. Now Timothy was 50 years old here. Write that down. No, that's not true, by the way. Timothy, if you put together some scriptures in the Bible, he had to have been 25 years old, in his mid-20s or less. And he was representing Paul in a very, very stressful situation. Because these leaders had, you know, turned their back a little bit on what Paul had taught, and they were teaching and lining up disciples underneath him. And Paul wasn't there, but Paul sent Timothy to represent him. Timothy must have been a strong believer, because these people had their head up their butt. Now, that is a figure of speech. I'm not sure which one it is. Maybe Lance knows after. I'm not sure. But it is a figure of speech. He sent Timothy there, and Timothy was only in his mid-20s or less. And he represented the Apostle Paul. Paul would have never sent him unless Timothy knew what he was doing, and Timothy was going to stand. One cool thing that happened when, you know, I wasn't doing so well is a lot of you guys stepped up. A lot of you guys did tremendous things, you know, in the body here, and that's great. Some of us are getting older, you know, if you haven't noticed. How well do you young guys know God's word? Can you teach it? Can you teach it accurately? How can you, you know, do all these things? How well do we know God's word? Verse 17, for this cause I've sent unto you Timotheus, who's my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in who? Not all of Paul's ways. If he ate, you know, albondigas on Thursday, that's not necessarily what everybody's got to do. As I teach everywhere in every church, Timothy represented Paul, and he was faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. He was faithful to God and his word, and that's a really, really big thing. Look at Luke chapter 16, just a few more verses. We'll wrap it up. Luke 16. Luke 16. Some of us were taught by Dr. Worwell, it's the word, the word, the word. And what? Nothing but the word. Don't ever compromise on God's word. If somebody tells you to do something opposite, you ought to not do it if it's off the word. Faithful day in and day out. Why? If God is faithful, we ought to trust his word and we ought to be faithful. And let me tell you, sometimes, you know, we all fall on our face. I've done some of that lately. But you know, God and his word are true. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. Did I just say that? I just got in a motorcycle accident. My brain was a little bit. That's my new excuse. It kind of works. But you're a tough crowd. Didn't really work. Look at Luke 16. Luke 16. Look at this. This is cool. It says here in Luke 16. Verse 10, he that's faithful in what? Least is faithful also in that which is much. And he that's unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Start off being a little faithful in the things that we have to be faithful for, in the least. And then pretty soon we build a habit of faithfulness in our lives, which is tremendous. Verse 13, no servant can serve two what? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. you cannot serve God and materialism. That doesn't mean that we don't want a raise. That doesn't mean that we don't want a better job. But if my goal in life, what makes me tick, is materialism, then I have two gods. I have God and I have materialism, and that's very confusing because then I get pulled in different ways. God can bless us financially, but we can't make the dollar our God. You know, life becomes complicated when you stand between commitments. Life becomes complicated when you stand between commitments. Who is our God? Is it the dollar or is it God and His Word? Life becomes complicated when you stand between commitments. Here it says, no man can serve two masters. That doesn't mean we can't be prosperous if we serve God. That's not what the scripture says at all. You know, I got into God's Word in 1970 when I was 17 years old. And I wanted to help people with my life. And I knew God's Word was true when I was 17. And that's basically how my wife and I have lived our lives for a long time. And most of you guys know us pretty well. And we screw up, we mess up, but we're folks. But we've tried, and God is faithful. And we have a nice ministry here, Harbor Light Fellowship. It's good because it's based on God's Word, and folks are trying to live their life according to the Scripture. It's a great life. It's a really great life. And I'm thankful that we're all together. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. So faithfulness in God's Word, day in and day out, faithful. What are we going to base our life upon? Are we going to base our life upon people? What happens when the people go? Base our life on what's happening in the world today? No way, Jose. Base our life on money or something else? It's nice to have money, but that's not what we should base our life upon. We've been entrusted with the greatest thing in the world today, and it's not money. It's God and His Word, and we've been taught something like it hasn't been known since the first century, some of the stuff that we know. What makes us special? We have Holy Spirit, and we have God and His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in legalism.
No.
Be strong in hurting people.
No.
Be strong in the dollar.
No.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in what?
Grace.
Grace. Be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many, what?
Witnesses.
The same. The same, the same. How can we give the same unless we know the same? The same commit thou to who?
Amen.
Faithful people who shall be able to teach others also. It's faithful people who are there day in and day out who will be able to teach and share and lead and help people. Not somebody who's up and down all the time, but somebody who's faithful. Faithful people who shall be able to teach others also. God is faithful. And because He's faithful, we can trust Him. And He wants us to be faithful in our lives so we can continue to believe and teach others along the way. Look at this room here. Look at what we have in our fellowships. It's because of God and His Word and faithful people who've decided to take a stand on God's Word. Not perfect people, but people who want to believe God. And there's a unity there. There's a love. There's something really great. Not because the hot dogs are great or not because the singing is so great. It's because God is great and we're all trying to do our best to live it. What a wonderful life that we have. Faithful people who are able to teach others also. And thank you once again for your prayers and your love to my wife and I. Okay? Thank you very much. Lance Campbell.